Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is May 6th, 2024. I want to thank you guys for being here. Please leave a thumbs up on this video, subscribe, all that good stuff. We'll get into the plugs later on. We've got Denise Salcedo here. Denise, how you doing?
I'm doing good. We're back, Sean. Here we go. We're back to our Monday Night Raw post show. I feel like I haven't seen you in ages, so I'm excited to get to it.
It's been about a month since we've done a show together. Like it's been like three, four weeks. Cause
no,
I wasn't on last week's show. The week before that it was solos. It's been about 3 weeks then.
Really?
It's been 3 weeks. Yeah. Cause I haven't done any shows in 2.5 weeks besides popping on the air. So
My God, time flies by so fast. No wonder I had forgotten that I missed one of the shows, and then I like completely forgot that we hadn't done a show in such a long time. So anyways, I'm glad that we're back.
I am too. I'm excited to be back, excited to be here for the show. I want to thank everybody who said very, very nice things over the past couple of weeks. I'm going to talk about an awful lot of stuff that has happened over the last week and a half, especially. And for full transparency, I told Denise earlier, if you don't want to be on screen for this, I get it because people are weird online, etc. But she's like, nope, I want to be. So we're going to talk about some things that unfolded in my life over the last week and then Triple H's comments on Saturday that some of you might be like, what the hell are you talking about? So these have been the worst 2.5 weeks of my life. And that's happened a few times over the last 3 or 4 years as my grandmother's health has deteriorated. And unfortunately last Sunday we lost her. And the only way that I can put that is she was the most important person in my life. She's the reason I got into wrestling. I first saw wrestling at her house. She enabled this wrestling love and passion that I had. Cody Rhodes actually messaged me last week and he goes, what's your favorite memory of your grandmother? And about 9 years ago, my grandmother really wanted to see like, what I did. And like, she wanted to see me either compete or perform. And I worked a very like local indie show that she was actually able to travel to because she couldn't go to a lot of them that I did. And we did a little dive spot right in front of her. And I'll always have that video of her reacting to that. And I remember I had told my cousin, this spot is coming, make sure she's safe. And like, I got to see her reaction. Like I looked up at her and she was having the time of her life. And like, that's something I'll always remember. And you know, that's always tough to come to grips with. And I don't talk a lot about my personal life in that regard, but you know, that it has been not a good time lately, but ultimately wrestling is my escape from that stuff. So it's hard to completely detach from that. Mike Johnson gave me some nice advice over the past week. And he said, you know what? I lost somebody close to me. I didn't take enough time off. Make sure you do that. And I've got to make sure that I do that. But also, there are some things that I wanted to talk about because there was a situation on Saturday. Saturday after WWE Backlash, Triple H, Paul Levesque, did a post-show press conference, and he was asked a very fair question, beyond fair question, about Drew Gulak and his departure from WWE. And the person called it a release because it was reported by multiple outlets, including us, that he had been released. Now, his name was dropped to us with the release names. I asked WWE in four different ways over numerous weeks, is he with the company? Has he been released? Is his contract expiring? Any possible way that you could ask WWE in an official capacity, I personally did. I was told he will not be with the company. We'll get back to that. The person also asked, does it have anything to do with Ronda Rousey's claims that he pulled on her hoodie string or her sweatpants string backstage, which he says was an accident and happened because he went to shake her hand? Triple H then responded without naming us or PW Insider and said, well, if you're going to get your news, you need to make sure you get it from credible sources. And honestly, the comment itself didn't really bother me because like I covered the UFC for full time for a very long time. And a very tepid, mild comment like that, compared to the stuff that Dana White says on a weekly basis, this guy's having like compilation videos of any detractors possibly promoted and put on his Twitter and all that stuff. So that didn't even really bother me that much. I was annoyed by it. I was like, ugh, of course. The first day, maybe ever, that I have told my staff, don't bother me for anything, like under any circumstances, don't bother me. I was like, okay, this sucks. A day after I buried my grandmother, I wanted to get away from wrestling, wanted to get away from everything and just disconnect. Now, the things that I went through in my personal life do not make me exempt from criticism or anything like that. And I know that he wasn't aware of that because I got a phone call from him later that day. I'm not at liberty to discuss what exactly was said there, but there are a couple things that I can say. Specifically, what I was told he took issue with wasn't the mention of release. It was the mention of Ronda Rousey, of which we never reported. We never said that Ronda Rousey had anything to do with Drew Gulak's departure from WWE. But I'll give you guys a little behind the scenes of how this all unfolded. Ronda Rousey makes those claims. And as of that time, Drew Gulak was factored into creative plans for the foreseeable future, along with his team on NXT. WWE begins to look into whether this happened and maybe some other issues. They talked to some people at the PC. Some people at the PC raised some concerns about him. All of a sudden, those creative plans are no longer in play. And Drew Gulak, who wanted to remain with WWE, is told, you're not staying with WWE. Just so happened that his deal was coming up, which I believe he's on a main roster deal. So there was no courtesy of the 90 days or anything like that. It was, you're effectively done. His name was mentioned to us with those other releases. When other outlets reached out to WWE and mentioned his name as a part of the releases, they were told, yep, him too. So as far as that goes, we reached out to WWE in an official capacity. We did everything that we were supposed to in that regard, and we never reported that Rousey directly had anything to do with that release. So I can tell what happened here. Triple H got asked a question. And listen, there's nothing more that guy likes than being, you know, what up, legend, that type of stuff. You're not always going to get asked that. And I get it. They're not waterboarding sessions or interrogations. This is WWE content. And they want the easy questions there. And that's okay. It is up to each outlet to determine what type of question they want to ask and what type of answer they're aiming to get here. And of course, Triple H doesn't want to answer anything like that. Why would he want to answer anything like that? But I can tell you who's never responded in that type of like arrogant manner. Shawn Michaels, who has no media training to speak of. Shawn Michaels has answered questions like that very eloquently and not been like, hey, I know you asked this question, but look over here. He doesn't do that. And that's how I took that. Now, I'll also say this. In my line of work, an off-the-record apology doesn't count. Because if WWE or AEW or TNA or anybody like that has an issue with something that I've reported and they say it's incorrect, they expect me to correct it publicly and admit that I did something wrong. So to me, an off-the-record apology is basically saying, well, you're not worth an on-the-record apology. And that's how I took that personally. WWE, in an official capacity, I will say this, were very apologetic towards me. I can't speak it to what they said to Mike Johnson, but I know Mike Johnson had conversations. I know that many other media members reached out to them, and they were very complimentary towards Mike and myself. Whether or not anybody believes that specifically, you know, that's up to them. That's they can determine that or not determine that or say they don't give a shit. Doesn't really matter, you know? But like, I'll have people that go, oh, well, you really don't believe that, do you? And I'm like, well, I talk to the best liars in the world. And I mean that as a compliment. These people make you think they're hurt when they're not hurt and vice versa. I'm always cognizant of the agenda. I'm always cognizant of that. But I feel like Triple H's intent there was to get people talking about anything but the Gulak and Rousey thing. And that's what was accomplished there. So again, my phone blows up with this. I did not. I watched the main event and that was it. And then I left my hotel room. And again, Triple H did call me and I saw people that were like, oh yeah, I bet he did. And I was like, are you guys completely like unfamiliar with the process of how this works? And I understand there are some people that are completely unfamiliar with that, but this is like, we haven't ever had like an adversarial relationship with WWE over the past few years or anything like that. And it was an effort from somebody to try to smooth it over and all that stuff. But I looked at it as they were playing semantics with the situation. And, you know, there were a lot of people saying like, why did the Drew Gulak stuff just come out after this? Well, I'll tell you why. Corey Brennan had that story weeks ago about Drew Gulak and some of the issues. However, a lot of it was off the record information. However, when Triple H answered in that manner, some of those talent were like, nope, it's on background now. You can use it. Feel free. Go ahead. Here you go. Here's that information. So that's how that sort of dominoed there. Now, like I look at how this situation all unfolded and I'm not like sad or mad or really any of those things. Cause after the last couple of weeks, I can't really convey those emotions right now. I'm very empty in that regard. I was annoyed and disappointed, and I was more disappointed because I knew how the reaction would be. And Denise, you know what I'm talking about there. There are people that were just like, that made their day because they don't create anything of their own. They don't have community outside of hating on other people. That's what they love. So again, like I said, it'd be very easy for WWE to come out and say, Triple H didn't call Sean Ross Sapp. And it'd be very easy for me to be like, here you go. Yeah, he did. So, I mean, the idea from people that didn't happen or that WWE didn't, you know, say what they said, I keep my receipts. I think that's pretty evident by anybody that follows what I do on Twitter. I keep my receipts in that regard. Last week alone, WWE confirmed our reports on Seth Rollins, NXT releases, and within 2 days, confirmed our stories on Las Vegas WrestleMania, Jey Uso filling in tonight, Dijak status. So at this point, if it's a thing where you just don't like me or you don't like somebody that works here and you're saying, well, Fightful's not credible, you're being obtuse. Our track record speaks for itself. It's really good. I'm very proud of the work that we do here. And like anybody saying Fightful's not credible, like, listen, if you want to die on that hill, by all means, die on the hill that we're not credible, accurate, that we don't have sources. You can live in that fantasy land. You can be obtuse about facts. You can embarrass yourself, because anybody with a functioning brain can look at our track record, which is very good. So, yeah, I wasn't particularly in a joking mood after this week, and I would tweet about it that night, and people would go, you're still on this? And I'm like, yeah, I am still on this. You know, just like people are still on me from a tweet that I didn't tweet from the Fightful account 2.5 years ago, that, you know, make Coke jokes when I would never touch anything like that. Go finger wag those people. You know, the weirdos that I knew would specifically react to this type of thing. The fun police that are out there that will not allow people to enjoy anything, have any semblance of joy in any categorical way about pro wrestling. Go finger wag those weirdos, because I do not want dumb media illiterate readers or bad people. And that's what I see a lot of in this situation. WWE invites myself, Denise, Joel Pearl to media junkets, media events, talent interviews, all that stuff. I don't personally need that. We lose money on that. So whether Triple H likes me or not, or likes Fightful or not, I don't care. I know he does not like wrestling media. I know he's never liked wrestling media, because I spoke to people who were in charge of putting him on those pressers and things like that. So I'm aware of his feelings towards that, but that doesn't change our coverage. Like, because he says something like that, I'm not going to develop a bias or anything in that regard. I don't need sympathy or anything like that after what happened last week. But I will not say anything on Twitter or on the phone or in our reporting or on a podcast that I wouldn't say interpersonally to somebody. And I think that bothers a lot of the people that reacted the way that they did. I don't go after anybody that doesn't start some shit. And I know that really, really bothers some people that feel like they should be able to say whatever they want without it being unchecked. They feel like they should be able to say whatever they want, lie about whatever they want, then turn around and say, you're not credible after they lie. Wrestling is also a very, very unique space where somebody can say in one breath, Triple H said that you aren't credible, I don't believe you about this contract news, then say, hey, why aren't you covering this sex trafficking lawsuit more? That is wildly weird to me. This unusual paradox in which wrestling specifically lives in, where you say someone isn't credible about something like contract, and then you're like, well, why aren't you covering this very sensitive and extremely disgusting situation that's going on? There are some people that are very, very well equipped for that, and then there are some people that are woefully unequipped for that. I know my strengths and weaknesses, and my strength is definitely in news reporting, and ain't nobody going to be able to say with a straight face and actually believe it that my work isn't credible, or that Corey Brennan's work isn't credible, who actually did the report for Fightful Select. And, you know, I've never met one of these people that reacted that way in person. And if I have, they don't talk like that. And I don't think it's out of intimidation or anything like that, because I'll always have people that say, oh, you're being a tough guy. No, it's because I realize why they don't say these things. It's because they realize that when they say them out loud, they sound really stupid. Like, the things that people say on Twitter in response to things like what Triple H mentioned, if they were to say that aloud to a loved one, their loved one would look at them and go, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? And I mean, there's pretty significant reasons why I don't give anybody the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to name names or anything, but I had to give Denise a heads up the other day, because I saw somebody talking some sugar about her. And I said, hey, Denise, just so you know, this person quite literally messaged my wife and myself, threatened to rape and kill you and her. And that's the reality of weirdo people in that type of space that shouldn't exist. And that's the type of stuff that I was dreading when I heard that line. Not any type of particularly adversarial relationship with WWE or Triple H or anybody like that. The obtuse weirdos that emerge from something like that. I have received nothing but support from within the industry. I've got no disrespectful DMs, which shows me that people only say that type of stuff for likes, retweets, whatever that may be. That's why you don't see anybody that does stuff like that with a successful podcast or a show, because when they verbalize that type of thing, people go, man, that sounds really weird to hear out loud. And the ones that do exist only get attention for being really terrible people. So yeah, like I looked at this situation and I was like, man, really didn't want to deal with this week. Really didn't want to deal with this week. And even more than that, I didn't want to deal with weird people after last week. And we are very fortunate at Fightful that we have a wonderful community and we've got a wonderful audience. And a lot of that is because I have been adamant on keeping those weird people out. And to them, I say, listen, if you want to try to troll us or try to take shots at our credibility, we're just going to keep doing our jobs and we're going to keep reporting on it. And there ain't nothing more that you can take from me than got taken from me last week. So that's really all I've got to say about that situation. But Denise, I don't know if you just want to go ahead and cover WWE Raw now.
Well, all I want to say is that the reason why I chose to sit here and be here during this, because I knew you called me and you said, hey, if you don't want to be part of this, you don't have to be part of this. And the reason I wanted to be part of this was, and just to like really not even say anything, but because I know how much work it takes to do this kind of a job. I know what it takes out of you. I know everything that goes into it. And so for me, I'm just looking at this and going like, when someone sort of opens up the door to allow people to come in and criticize you and criticize your work, it's not something that you want to do. And so I'm just here to support, man, because at the end of the day, we're out here, we're working hard, whether or not you care or like someone, that's whatever, that's up to whoever. But the point is, when you're doing the work, I think that there should be some respect that comes with it. And also, the best and the worst thing about wrestling media is that anybody can do it. And let's be real.
Of course.
There are a lot of people that give this genre of media a very, very bad name. And unfortunately, we all get thrown under the exact same umbrella. And that is the very unfortunate part. And when you have situations like this, it opens up, again, those doors for people to go and attack you and attack your work and attack your credibility. And that sucks. So for me, I'm just looking at this and going, I'm very happy that there's a platform and there's a place that you can go and address how you feel and what you know. And that's about it. That's all you can do. And I think the positive thing about this, though, and I'm going to be real, is that everybody here that has like a normal functioning brain, like you said, and everybody who follows the work that you do, that Mike Johnson does, that other people do that are legitimately credible in this space, they understand. I think a lot of people understand what we deal with. And the people that did not want to support Fightful, that did not want to support, like people say, the dirt sheets, those people's opinions are not going to change, regardless of if Triple H would have gone out there and been like, Fightful is great. No matter what, those people's opinions were not going to change.
I mean, for an example, WWE confirmed to me the Seth Rollins news. I tweeted about Triple H directly responded to, it was the night that I teased The Rock showing up on day one. He addressed the internet rumors. That was my tweet. I know that Triple H has personally sent my tweets to people in WWE and said, look at this. They showed me the screenshots. Like I've seen this type of thing before. So, and listen, we are not exempt from criticism, and I don't want anybody to think it is a woe is me type of thing. I looked at that, and WWE claimed it was a broad generalization. That was the claim. And Triple H's specific concern to me was, and by the way, he outright said to me, wasn't a shot at you. His specific claim was, oh, it's the Rousey connection. And I said, well, dude, we didn't report that. The rest of that conversation is off the record. Can't really elaborate on that. I will say it was very kind of him. He extended condolences. He was not aware of what happened last week. And I want to make that clear. I didn't think that that was like a personal shot or anything. And I saw some people bringing up the connection there. That wasn't a thing. It was a coincidence in that regard. But like I'm aware of how this game works, because it works with wrestling content grifters too. The only believe us because we're the only person you can trust and we're the only people telling it like it is thing. Like we see that in politics. We see that in media. We see that all over the place. Like it is not different. And I criticize their show every week. So I am completely open to criticism in that regard, but it better be honest criticism or else I'm going to call you on it. And our reporting is accurate to a level in which I would argue has never been seen in pro wrestling. And as you mentioned, the thing about pro wrestling media is that anyone can do it. It is beautiful and it's also scary. Because listen, everybody is not John Pollock and Brandon Thurston. So therefore, I don't think everybody should be covering the things that they cover, and they cover better than anybody. You know what I mean? Like, I think there are some very sensitive and important things that I think you should probably leave to the pros there. And there's an awful lot of shit that I ain't a pro at. And I'm willing to admit that. But when it comes to stories like that, I'm very confident in our track record and our abilities. And there's a reason. There's a reason why we have developed. There's a reason why we're invited there, why we've developed the trust of an audience and all that stuff. And I was just like, I know how the weirdos are going to react. And I'll give you an example. A WWE PR rep sent me a tweet that somebody had said. They said that said, and I quote, "Your dead grandma would be disappointed in you after what Triple H said." And that PR rep said, "I am sorry you have to put up with this shit. And I'm sorry that he said that." And I was like, well, you know, I feel how I feel about that situation. And I can't even be mad or sad or anything. I'm empty of that emotion after the last couple of weeks. And I just want to talk about some wrestling and do my job that I do very well. But I want to thank all of you that said nice stuff. And listen, if any of you all don't believe our reporting, that's the eye of the beholder. By all means, doubt our reporting and our credibility and all that stuff. It's okay to look at media and raise your eyebrow and be like, is this true? Did they do the work? Was there an agenda here? That is completely healthy. But baselessly throwing around not credible in a broad generalization is not. And that was a big issue. We do have a bunch of super chats and humper chats. I want to thank all of you that are sending those. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. I apologize for the. Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of five-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner, I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boost of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The extended rant, but I've not been on this show for 3 weeks, and I had to get that off my chest a little bit. And yeah, but first, let's hear from our sponsors at NordVPN. Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful. Let's get to these Humper Chats. A reminder, HumperChats.com, or you can send a super chat here at youtube.com/Fightful. I also want to thank Jeremy, Joel, Alex, Kate, Corey, Brennan, who all did Q&As last week to fill in for me last week. So three of those over on FightfulSelect.com. The best $5 in the business. Kim Gray says, missed you this week, SRS. Had you on my heart and mind all week. Thank you so much. Tim Witt says, welcome back, Sean. Raw was awesome. I was there. James says, glad you're back, Sean. Happy to see you. Have been praying for you guys all week. I really appreciate that. Denise, you want to hear a funny story? I never thought I'd say this. A funny story about my grandmother's funeral.
Oh, is it the thing that you shared? I think I saw.
Maybe on my private account.
Yeah, on your private account. Yeah, I saw on your private account and I was going to message you about it, but I didn't know how to go about it. So I was like, I'll wait until Sean brings it up.
Obviously, we paid for the funeral, but I was the official for the funeral. And I'm not laughing, but they kept calling me minister. And I'm like, please stop that before this place catches on fire, first off. But you know, my grandmother wasn't particularly religious, nothing against it or anything. It's just she wasn't. So they wanted me to speak there. And at the end of the day, I came back and they handed me an envelope and they go, here, this is for you. And I look in there and it's a $50 check that they pay for people who officiate the funerals. So it's like paid for our family just paid for me to do that. And I was like, we could chip away at a little bit more of that if you'd like. Like it was pretty expensive.
It's just like, weird. It's just
these people are underpaid.
It's just weird because you're like, I did not need to be paid for this. Like this is
exactly.
It's like this weird feeling of like, oh, thank you for your generosity. But at the same time, like I was going to do this regardless of whether or not I was being paid. Like that's just so weird.
Oh, I'm never cashing the check. I'm gonna keep the check because it's a funny story. But I was just like, my God.
I know. I saw that and I was like, this is funny, but at the same time, kind of messed up. But like in this weird humor thing. Oh, so it depends on how you take it, you know?
Indeed. Sir Brendo says, we love you, Sean. Take care of yourself. Thank you. Scott says, much love to you and the fam, SRS. Vic says, thank you for all you do, Sean. My best to you and your family. Line Drive says, military brat from San Antonio. HBK's dad would come for him if he did what Triple H did. I mean, I've heard of Shawn Michaels putting a lot of people, like, setting a lot of them straight. AJ says, Just sending love for the Fightful crew. I watch Sean and Denise a lot of the times. Y'all the best. Let's get to some of the wrestling. As Meat Normus says, welcome back. Let's crank. Meltzer called you Sean Sapp. He needs to put some respect on your name. So there's Triple H. I always say people who call me Sean Sapp have either known me my entire life or they don't know me at all. Like there's no in between. I've gone as Sean Ross Sapp for 15 years now. So
yeah, it's weird hearing you as Sean Sapp. I almost think that's like an entirely different person. Like you're either SRS Sean or Sean Ross Sapp.
We had the Judgment Day promo that kicked off this show. Damian Priest apologizes for how he acted at Backlash. And then Finn Balor's like, I've got to buy because Drew McIntyre ain't here. He can't, or because he can't wrestle tonight. I like this promo. I like seeing the humility out of Damian Priest here because he understands how important keeping Judgment Day together is. But I just thought it was funny that Finn thought, oh, you know, I'm going to get a bye. I'm pretty sure they had announced ahead of time he's going to have another opponent. I guess WWE Twitter isn't canon, but what'd you think of the promo?
So my whole thing that I liked about this in particular was that it finally felt like there was a little bit more focus on Damian Priest as World Heavyweight Champion. I feel like they haven't put enough focus on him as champion. It has sort of felt like the first week after he won the belt coming off of WrestleMania, it was like, oh, here's this segment. And oh, here's John Cena. And here's R-Truth and The Miz. And it felt like we were going in so many different directions that Damian Priest was sort of just there like, hey, I'm champion. And this segment today for the first time kind of felt like we actually got a little bit more of that spotlight on Priest as a champion. And the fact that Finn Balor thought that he was just going to cruise on by, again, I don't know. I didn't actually miss the announcement that they made on Twitter. So I was just as clueless as Finn Balor. I'm finding this out like, you know, on the show. So I don't know. Maybe Finn wasn't paying attention because he was paying attention to the Met Gala like I was. So
Maybe he should subscribe to those credible sources at FightfulSelect.com because we reported that Jey Uso would be his opponent. I feel like we had more information on tonight's show than WWE did, and we didn't even have the Raw plans tonight. But we have Yellow Boy saying, celebrating my birthday today. Happy birthday.
Fellow Taurus. Yes.
Yes. Says, just wanted to send some money to thank SRS, Denise, the SGS, and all of Fightful for the positivity through a very tough year. Well, I hope you're having, oh my gosh, she says, my rehab through cancer is going well. Thank you, Fightful family. Well, my friend, I hope you are doing better. I'm glad to hear that it's going well. I really am. I'm going to try to not butcher this name. Adibakola says, learning about Mute from Dijak, of all places, changed my Twitter experience for the better. It's been much a healthier since. Highly recommend it. Listen, I know you guys are going to see thousands of people say, SRS blocked me because. The answer is because they were an asshole. That's why.
Well, I use the power of the mute button. I have 1,800 accounts muted. 1,800. And those are only the ones I see.
I run the mega blocker. If somebody likes a tweet that is abhorrent, I run that and it blocks everybody, and I have to block people because otherwise on our paywall posts, people will come there and, you know, be dicks and spoil our stuff. So that's why I got so many people blocked.
I mute because it's funny because it's like, hi, look at me, and you can't be seen.
Well, they always leave a paper trail. That's what I always tell people. If you see somebody say, SRS blocked me because, just go to their little profile. There's a search bar. And just type in my name, you are going to see some crazy bullshit that they said. Pat says, love you, Sean. Everyone associated with Fightful worked too hard to be disrespected like that. Sincerest condolences to you and your family. Well, I appreciate that. I mean, we're open to criticism. Nobody is exempt from criticism. I just want to make that clear.
No,
I criticize my own staff. Me and Kate had a very spirited discussion of something I didn't disagree with her or didn't agree with her about last week. But you know what she didn't do? She didn't call me any names. She didn't, put some weird thigh tweet for an account I haven't had access to in 6 years. She didn't call me a cokehead.
Can I just say I get punished for it?
Oh my God, it's unreal.
Whenever you block somebody, people come yell at me about it all the time. It's like clockwork.
Crush says, blessings to you both, SRS and Denise. Thanks for providing us all your hard work through the BS. Well, I appreciate that. And thank you for the generous donation. We got Jey Uso defeating Finn Balor here. Denise, what did you think about this? I felt like the crowd this past weekend sort of reinvigorated Jey Uso with the lights and stuff. They started something.
Dude, it was like a concert. I said this when we did the Grapsado Backlash review, but it truly felt like Jey Uso was out there having the time of his life, having a full-on concert, everyone's dream right there. But this was a lot of fun. I will say this, like, this was a Raw that I was really looking forward to just because they legitimately put good contenders in for the King of the Ring and the Queen of the Ring. Like, this wasn't just like, there were several names on here where I'm thinking, I would love for this person to win the King of the Ring or the Queen of the Ring. Like, I'm good with all these names and all of these matches that they announced. So I felt a little bit of an extra, I felt more pumped heading into to Raw today because of these matches. And one of them, obviously, you know, Drew McIntyre got kicked out, which was not kicked out, but unmedically cleared. He wasn't medically cleared. So I was a little bit bummed that Drew was removed from the tournament, but yeah, regardless, I felt like this match with Finn and Jey was pretty good. And when Drew came out and he was kind of like mad dogging Jey for going in and being and replacing him, I thought that was hilarious. But I was glad that Jey got the win because I felt like that just made the most sense for the story and to continue moving forward. I thought that Jey's been taking too many losses. Like, at some point he needs to start getting these wins. I know he had that. Obviously, he won at WrestleMania, and that was great and stuff. But it still feels like there hasn't been enough to justify the interest that people have in him right now. And, like, even coming off of Backlash, like, there was part of me that was thinking, like, oh, man, like, the crowd is so behind Jey Uso. What if he actually defeats Damian Priest? I know not a lot of people were expecting that because Priest just won the title. But I was looking at this going, like, damn, the people are into Jey Uso. When you got people reacting like that, you need to give this person some more W's. And so I liked the way that this played out, and I liked Jey getting his victory here.
I did too. I really love, like, how much that reinvigorated him too. It feels like Jared says, do you think Triple H successfully conditioned crowds to accept longer matches? Was worried for the women's matches, but the crowd was mostly invested. Yeah. What I think they have conditioned audiences to is to accept varying lengths of matches, very short ones, medium length, longer matches. I feel like that is important. That was one of the issues I had with AEW for a while, is when the match starts, you know, it's going to be at least 10 to 15 minutes. And I don't think every match needs to be that long.
No. And then my pet peeve is when I'm looking forward to a match and then it gets ruined by a DQ or sure. something. But you know what, though? They're doing that a whole lot less. So I can't even complain.
Joel Wood says, you've always been good to me, Sean. In the few conversations we've had, you show me respect, even when sometimes I don't deserve it. Sending all my support to you, Denise, and Fightful. Well, I disagree with that. Unless anybody's disrespectful to me or a jerk to me, I'm going to be nice to him, flat out. Like, the only time you see me go at somebody is when somebody has went at me or been disrespectful. That's it. And if they can't handle their own energy being matched, well, go consume somebody else's content. I don't care. KE775 says, do you see Minnesota getting a SummerSlam or another show since they got jilted from Mania the last minute? Or do you think they could get Mania down the road? Denise, you know what show I think Minnesota should get next year?
Which one?
AEW Double or Nothing.
Why?
Because AEW is probably not going to run Las Vegas 1 month after WrestleMania. Like, I find it hard to believe that they're going to run that. True. And they should. First off, AEW should not be running Memorial Day weekend in Las Vegas anyway. It is so busy. It is so expensive. Have a little respect for your fans in that regard and, you know, not make them pay thousands and thousands of dollars to go to the show. I would love to see them go to Minnesota, Minneapolis and do that. Like, take care of the city that, you know, just got kicked in the ass.
Well, I know. See, here's the thing, though, is that one of the things that came out was that because of the change of management in WWE, that they were no longer going to do Minnesota. And I actually think it's better for them to do it in cities like Las Vegas. And I know that it sucks to hear that if you're not near any of those cities, but you got to think about it. Like, nothing's worse than going to a city where there's absolutely nothing to do. And I've been in those cities and I feel bad because I see people traveling from like all over the world coming to the United States for the first time. And they go to like a state or a city that's got nothing going on. And they're just like, there's nothing. And so for me, I just think it's a bigger and better experience for fans to go to cities where there is a lot more going on. It just calls for a better experience overall, because you got to understand, like, people are spending so much money. Like, it's not cheap to go to WrestleMania, and you want to go and you want to get the most bang out of your buck. Now, here's the thing with Las Vegas, though, and Memorial Day weekend. And this is something that I've noticed, is that I've been to WrestleMania. I'm sorry, not WrestleMania. I've been to Las Vegas now like a million times, right? Throughout my entire life. And I've gone for wrestling shows. I've gone for non-wrestling shows. Hell, I've even gone for the Super Bowl. I've gone for all of these different things. And let me tell you, the prices, they're always the freaking same. They're always the freaking same. They might fluctuate a couple dollars here and there, but everything is expensive no matter where the hell you go. I might as well pay X amount of dollars to go entertain myself in Las Vegas than X amount of dollars to go spend my time at some place that doesn't have
much going on. I saw people that were like, oh, Ubers are going to be crazy. And I'm like, they weren't crazy Super Bowl weekend. Like, they were fine then. And this is not bigger than Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of people were saying that all of these hotels were sold out. And again, I was there for Super Bowl weekend, and like nothing's like, of course, it's going to be super busy. But trust me, there are so many hotels, like, you will be fine.
Yeah, there's if hotels are sold out, then probably a company went and bought the rooms up and you're just going to find another one. Like, it's just not. It was not difficult to get a hotel room Super Bowl weekend. It was not.
No. And it was kind of last minute too, for like a lot of the WWE media that came in for the kickoff, because that was announced a couple days before it actually happened. And you were still able to get hotel rooms and whatnot. So I think, specifically speaking for WrestleMania, of course, being in the bigger cities is definitely a little bit more of an appeal.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I love about Las Vegas, because this past trip changed my mind on it. It's 10 or 15 minutes from everything. Even the airport is in the city. Like, it's not like every other city where you got to drive 40, 45 minutes for that.
Hey, be shitting on Los Angeles, Sean. I'm sorry.
Listen, Los Angeles, Chicago, because you got to go in and out of the suburbs and all that stuff for AEW stuff. Dallas, where we had to go an hour through rush hour traffic to get to the ROH show. Las Vegas is right. Everything is right there. But
yeah, I love Las Vegas. I have the best time there. It's hot as hell, but you know what? I love Las Vegas. I'm a fan.
You're talking about bang for your buck, Denise. Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about betonline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best, from cutting edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of, all major sporting events are covered by betonline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. BetOnline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. Check them out, guys. They had all their lines from WWE Backlash were on the money, all of them. I didn't give, I usually give an underdog lock pick if I see one. There just wasn't one this week. I thought they were right on the money, and a 5-match show. Womp. We got Jonathan saying, do you think crowds at Bash of the Berlin and Clash of the Castle are going to be like France? It was insane.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you think we'll see Raw or SmackDown Sphere next year? you know what? If I were WWE, I would do Raw and SmackDown at the Sphere. That's what I would try to do.
I've never been inside, but from the outside, it looks freaking cool, especially at night. It looks very, very awesome. It's one of those things that you can't help but to stare even if you're just driving by.
Do it and charge out the ass for tickets. Like, charge ridiculous prices for the tickets.
I would just go to take a picture on the outside, and then that's it. Like, I don't know. I've only seen pictures of what it looks like inside, but no, I mean, there's so much cool stuff that can be done.
Dominic presented Carlito to Damian Priest. What'd you think about this, Denise?
All right. Well, first of all, though, I was completely distracted during this entire segment because the entire time I kept looking at Dominic and
he looks like somebody's uncle.
That's what I put. I literally captured it. He looks like half my family members, bro. He went from being like looking like my little cousin, my little nephew, to all of a sudden looking like my uncle. Like, bro, you aged yourself 40 years in 2 seconds. But it's so crazy though, because obviously we know the whole storyline with Eddie Guerrero being his dad and all of this. And now it's like, he looks like him. He's starting to look like him. And it's so crazy. And now it's funny. Like, there's so many jokes to be made from that alone. So the entire time, I'm sorry, like, I didn't even care about Carlito. I didn't even care about all the other stuff. All I cared about was Dominic and what he's morphing himself into. And it makes you want to like hate him just a little bit more, but like in a different way. I don't know. This is hilarious as all hell.
And it's great
jokes that he's looking like those people. That he's looking like he can't be near a school, and I'm dying.
Oh, God. I don't like that.
But he's got the porn stash.
Don't like that. He can have a porn stash and not be that.
I know, but it's a funny joke.
It's not, though. Juan says,
happy
to see you back, Sean. Love and condolences. Appreciate the show. Minister Sean and Reverend Denise. Oh, testify. Jonathan Corona says, who do you think WWE is going to sign as a free agent? Do you think we see an NXT referee call up or NXT ref to the main rosters and give them a shot? Listen, I don't have a lot of like outside WWE. I think there are prospects they could sign. Like, I think there are several women's wrestling prospects they could end up signing. Like, I saw Heather Reckless yesterday at Black Label Pro, Maggie Lee, I said Brittany Brooks, J-Rod in the past. Like, I could see a lot of those people getting signed to NXT. I don't think there are like big ticket free agents that are necessarily out there, except for Hikuleo eventually in like a month or so.
The thing is that NXT literally does not need any more women. They've got plenty there already. They need more dudes, man. Go out and find some, because we need it's starting to look a little bleak. They need to find some more dudes in there to really start to make some more stars there for the future, because I'm looking at it. I'm going, honestly, the future's right now in the women, everything that we've been seeing from them over on NXT.
We got Drew leaving. He's livid. I liked this segment with he and Adam Pearce, because Drew was announced as not medically cleared after he had mentioned he had hyperextended his elbow. And Adam Pearce said, well, guess what? Nobody knew that you were hurt until you went and ran your mouth about it. And then when you ran your mouth about it, I've got to do my job and get it checked on. And guess what? Now you're not cleared. Good job. I love this. It showed Adam Pearce as a guy that's like, he said the quiet part out loud. He said, if you don't want people to know you're hurt, don't talk about it.
He put his foot in his mouth is what he did. He put his foot in his mouth. He got screwed. And now he was left to have to make that decision. Fine. It ended up working itself. And I'm glad they explained all of that. But that for me wasn't even the funny part. For me, it's the cat and mouse situation with CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. I was dying about it last week with freaking Drew going down and trying to chase him down on his skybox. And then doing I just think about it. It was so stupid, but hilarious, because his car literally leaves. And 2 seconds later, you see CM Punk's car roll up. And it's just like, it's little things like that that add to the comedy of the whole thing. And it's funny because Drew McIntyre is such a hater that his karma that he's getting at the moment is not able to get his hands on CM Punk. That's his karma right now.
And CM Punk shows up in this car, and he shows up literally within seconds. And Matthew S. says, am I nuts, or was that Punk promo Sub-Zero? It was awkward as the tag match during the ref miscommunication, crowd crickets, what gives, was like Punk was left stranded and had to ad lib. It was, I didn't get it. Like,
it
I was just
didn't
like,
have the zingers, Sean.
It's the same shit. It's the same shit I've seen. It's like, and Mr. Acosta says it feels a little out of place. I was like, and listen, like, I don't have any problems with like the shots at Jack Perry or Young Bucks or anything like that. But he called Drew McIntyre a choke artist and he said, not like the choke artist I am, huh, Pat? And the crowd didn't like make a peep. Crowd was like, huh? Because a lot of those people just don't know, right? Like, it did great traction on my Twitter, but none of those people on Twitter seem to be in the audience. It just, this is, eh. And plus, he talked trash about the Maple Leafs, and I'm sad enough about that shit. Like, it's sad being a Maple Leafs fan right now. He fist bumped Chad Gable on the way out and told him to take it easy on Alpha Academy. I just didn't feel this promo. But I also know how CM Punk operates, which is funny because he operates a lot like MJF. If he feels he didn't hit on a promo, he's going to make sure he hits on the next promo. And that's what I'm looking forward to. It's just tonight, it was very weird because like Drew wasn't coming back and he was like, oh, you know, Drew's checking his phone and I'm going to hold up the show. Then he didn't hold up the show.
Right. I was going to say, is Drew McIntyre going to come back? I was expecting that.
Yeah.
And I feel like instead it had this like reverse effect where because he had said like, okay, fine. Like I'm going to be here the whole time waiting for him. Everybody tweet him and let him know that I'm here. You know, because he's going to be on his phone looking. And I'm thinking, well, all I got from this now is that Drew McIntyre doesn't go on his phone while he's driving. So if anything, I'm going to applaud Drew McIntyre for not being on his phone while being on the road. So that was, I don't know. It was a little weird that, again, we were sort of waiting for either Drew McIntyre to come back or for there to be like a real big reason as to why CM Punk did what he did. But the thing that I think that most hit me in a way was that there was no CM Punk memorable lines. Like so he, sure. You know what I mean, right? Like CM Punk is known for saying some things, doing some things on the mic that you're just like, oh shit, that was really, really good. And you're always waiting for it because he does what MJF does too, where they build up to the moment and then the moment happens and you're like, oh yeah, that's exactly why. And I don't think we necessarily had that. But the one thing that I think we did get from this, though, is that CM Punk mentioned Clash at the Castle. Because as of right now, it's just been speculation from the fans of whether or not that match is going to happen. And I forget exactly what CM Punk said, but in the end, he did mention Clash at the Castle. So what I took from that was, okay, shit, this may actually be happening at Clash at the Castle. Wonderful, because at this point, like, I didn't know for sure if it was going to happen. And coming off of that promo, that was the big thing that I got from it. So, yeah, it wasn't the greatest promo. It didn't make the most sense, but at least we got that from it.
Line Drive says, I'm begging WWE, please sign Lindsay Snow. The woman is a star in waiting for a promotion home. She's got an incredible look as well. Mr. Acosta says, I can help. Carlito tried to use him being a Barriqua-like priest to help him with the LWO. Latino gang wars will soon come. Did you see where somebody said that Fightful was worse than the Mafia, Denise?
Why?
I don't know. Something about how we charge for news.
It's wild, man. There's some crazy things out there.
We've already got the Fightful Godfather shirt in production soon. Like we got it coming. Bagarov says, welcome back, SRS. Condolences to you and your family. Much love to you, Denise, and all of Fightful. You're my go-to source for wrestling news and content. Well, thank you for that, despite us not being credible. So we got Io Sky defeating Natalya. Now, by the way, Kofi Kingston, Rey Mysterio, a first-time match, moved off of this show onto a live event. Hate it.
Two matches were moved off.
Oh, I know. We're not done. Also, Shayna and who else?
Zelina,
off the show. Huh?
They promoted what? The matches. They gave us graphics, Sean.
Do them on fucking main event or something. Like anything but not on TV. What? Yeah. You want to talk about not credible? Your own match graphics aren't credible. What are we talking about? But guess who? Guess who reported that those matches weren't happening? Fightful. What are we doing here?
I'm just going to drink.
Anywho, Io Sky defeated Natalya. So Natalya and Lola Vice put on last week. Natalya, in her contract month, is out here proving points. This woman is out there doing some of the best work of her career. If I were any company, now listen, TNA cannot pay her anywhere near what WWE and or AEW can pay her. That's the reality. It would be a two-horse race here. If I'm AEW, I certainly want her in my locker room. I want her leading that. I want her training my wrestlers. And I want that guy she's married to help produce a bunch of matches as well. So there's an awful lot of reasons for Natalya Neidhart to be sought out by WWE, by AEW. And I'm looking forward to how that unfolds, because it really feels like she's proving a point right now.
Yeah, she's really felt a lot more, because before they always put her in these situations where you're like, oh, it's just Natty. And that was very unfortunate that they set her up like that for so many years. And this time it feels like, I don't know, I mean, you just ended right now the whole thing with the contract, but it really feels like that match with her and Lola, and then this match that we had today with Io, oh my God, they had incredible chemistry with each other. They worked so well with each other. I really loved what they did together, but it really did feel like, huh, all of a sudden, there's this new energy surrounding Natalya, where she's not just good old reliable Natalya on the show. No, this is Natalya that we're going to use to put on good matches that are going to further, not only further this tournament, but further the person that she's working with in the match. In the case of NXT, she helped further Lola Vice's career by what they did, by the story that they told there, where now I want to see Natty versus a bunch of those other girls over down on NXT.
When I saw that she was doing the NXT Underground thing, I'm like, listen, I know how Natalya trained, because that's a lot of the way that my coaches train me as well. You train without ropes. You train without those things. She trained and learned how to work that style, and she don't need anything but a mat, a platform, anything like that. But she's also so excellent at the sports entertainment element of it. Like, we're talking about her helping Lola Vice now. She helped Charlotte 10 years ago. She was in that spot. And she showed that. And it was just, they made it like a meh type of thing for a long time. And now they're letting her go out there and cook and do it with really, really good performers like Io Sky. And we're seeing the emotion come out of her as well. I want to see her get some wins as well. But also, I realize woman's got to sign a contract first. I don't know if that's happened. But Natalya got briefly distracted by Dakota, so they protected her a little bit as well. Io spiked her in the middle turnbuckle to escape the sharpshooter, hit the moonsault for the win. I'm so happy to see them doing more with Natalya. And this got time too. This was good.
It's so crazy to me that my favorite EO match on TV happened when she lost the championship belt.
Yeah.
Like, they really could have been doing so much more of this with EO when she was champion.
Asuka is injured. Will ask if it is real. It is real, unfortunately. I don't know like how much. We'll have some more on it on Fightful Select on Tuesday. But she's going to be replaced by Dakota Kai as in what she's doing. Ricochet and Braun reunite backstage. Good to see Braun. Later on, Damian Priest is talking to JD McDonagh about Braun. What I want to see is a reintroduced Braun Strowman. I don't know if we'll ever get him to the level he was 2017 as far as being over. But man, I miss when that dude feuded with Roman Reigns. Like, I looked forward to him whipping Roman Reigns' ass every single week. Don't know if we'll quite get that, but
I think I need to be reminded, because I don't think I was ever like a really big Braun Strowman fan. Like, I was never just one of those people. But sure. I feel like, obviously, I liked the guy and I liked what he did on TV. But I just need to be reminded of what that is right now.
Have him tear shit up again. Have him tear shit up.
It's been a while, honestly. I mean, why is the last thing that I think of the freaking choo-choo train that they were having him do?
Oh, because like, that's what he did.
Right. And that's like the last thing I have in my mind, that and the nose piercing. So it's like I really need something else to come in here and boot those memories out of my head.
Fid McAwesome says, with all the Samoan or non-Samoans and Polynesians joining the bloodline, should Henare be considered an option? Heard his contract was up in January and he's left Japan. I don't know, because I don't know what kind of connection he has. So Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, there is a connection there. Their father is Haku, and you can go look up the interview. The Rock did an interview on Kimmel like 8 years ago, and he called Haku his uncle. So, I mean, it's... Who are we to doubt them, right? Who are we
to say? The last person I'm doubting is Haku, man. That's the last person. That's the last person. If he says this or that, if that's what's going down, that's what it is. I'm accepting it. I'm backing away. You do your thing, man. I ain't going to be messing with Haku. Hells no.
Well, Ilya Dragunov had they had a vignette, and then he defeated Ricochet in King of the Ring. Oh, my God. This is why you have these two guys on the roster for matches like this. I like it because if this didn't have the King of the Ring thing to it, it'd be, I don't want to say a little cold because they would get cooking anyway, but it has stakes. It's a tournament. They're telling us how much it matters by showing us how hard these guys are going at it, Denise. Jay Stone says they were hooping. Got Ilya over well, kept Ricochet strong. Think we get Ilya and Gunther in the Raw finals. Much love to SRS and Denise. I think we could. I really do think we could. But this was the perfect debut for Ilya Dragunov, Denise.
It really was. I thought... God, I don't even know where to begin with this match. Well, first of all, on paper, it looked good. You knew what you were going to get on paper.
Yeah.
And what you ended up getting in the ring was far better. And to me, this is one of those matches where I'm like, please run it back at some point. Do not wait forever. Hell, get these guys in a feud. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Give me more. But this was so much fun. Dude, did you catch when Ilya did that suplex on Ricochet? Ricochet's face, like, bounced, I don't even know what the hell happened, bounced on the mat, and I literally just had this feeling of but it was so entertaining. All of the dives, the corkscrew plancha that Ricochet did, and they had the camera angle from the top. I swear to God, at one moment I think he was in slow motion in the air. I don't know how it happened. I'm not a physicist. I don't know how it happened, but
not
it happened.
Physicist.
I don't know. Sorry, I've been rewatching The Big Bang Theory, so it was stuck in my head. I was rewatching the episode where Penny moves in and they're moving the bed up the stairs, and then it falls in and Sheldon goes, "Gravity, you cold hard bitch."
Oh no. Oh,
so no. It was just in my mind. Sorry, I'm rewatching The Big Bang Theory. Anyways, that's literally what I was thinking about when Ricochet looks like he was in slow motion in the air. I can't explain it. I just know what I saw.
I love it because, you know, anytime there's like a little shade of red from somebody, people are like, is he okay? Ilya's fine, by the way. Ilya's fine, but he got busted up a little bit. But that he turns it up. He's also one of those guys where if he tastes his own blood, he knows that he's got to step it up a little bit more. He's got to show even more passion. Oh, they killed it. Dream Ninja says Natty out here showing people she's one of the best in-ring talents around, and Ricochet Dragunov is one of the best TV matches this year. Yeah, it was. It was incredible. And it's exactly the type of match I think you need to have for the King of the Ring. Same with the Queen of the Ring matches too. Ivy Nile and Zoe Stark were very short, but they went at it. Like all these Queen of the Ring matches, they went crazy. And what that tells me is it's important. That's why I keep telling you guys, whether it be King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring, the Andre Battle Royal, anything they have, if you tell me it's important and you convey it's important on screen, I'll believe it's important. How many times did we see the Intercontinental title over the years be treated like an afterthought? Well, guess what? Gunther made me think it was important again. And I feel like that is crucial for something like that.
Yeah, already with the matches, the people that were announced for this tournament, the tournament already feels like more than just a, hey, let's get a picture of this guy in a crown and have him call himself King of the Ring. Like, this feels like a little bit there's more meaning behind it, and that's what I truly appreciated. But man, Ilya's just that guy that he always just brings it. He has no other gear other than high intensity all the time. He's always full throttle. And so for me, like, Ilya is going to be a gem on this freaking roster. And the H-bombs, when he hit them, I don't know, man. I swear he always does them a little extra harder every time I see them. Great stuff.
Zoe Stark defeated Ivy Nile. Good to see Zoe getting a singles win, her first since July of last year outside of main event. Trevor says, pretty sure tonight's Queen of the Ring matches ran longer than the entire tourney last time. Drew embracing his inner Taylor Swift, burning Punk's pick. Yeah. I liked Zoe and Ivy, even though it was way shorter. I think it's okay to have some shorter matches too. As long as this one was like 5 minutes. Listen, glad it wasn't 2 or 3 minutes, because even I made the joke last week when they said that women's matches are going to be on WWE speed. I said, great, we know they'll hit their times. They got plenty of practice on that one. But I thought this was pretty solid.
It was a fine match. There was only one moment that I wish didn't happen, because it was one where like Ivy Nile hit like one of her roundhouse kicks and she didn't hit Zoe. And I just wish that Zoe wouldn't have sold it like she did get hit, because it's just little things like that kind of bother me a little bit. But other than that one little thing, everything else was fine. It was what it was. Zoe had her working shoes on there, and Ivy can hang. That was pretty much all I was thinking about in regards to this match.
Jonathan Corona says, Sean, do you think if WWE hired Lee Fitting back 5 or 10 years ago, it would have been different because this production is so good? Oh, yeah. I think that if Triple H was heading up creative 5 or 10 years ago, there are probably a dozen talent that had been fired or left WWE that would not have left WWE. I think their roster would be in a much better place, and they've already got a good roster. And if Lee Fitting was producing back then, there would be an awful lot of things that would have been a lot better. They certainly wouldn't have messed up Edge's return. They wouldn't have screwed up any number of things back then. He also says, why does Triple H never do media calls for PLEs like NXT does? Well, that's because Triple H is heading up the main roster stuff. He's never done those for WWE main roster things, but he did them regularly when he headed up NXT. Like, that was part of what introduced that, was the WWE PR team said, Triple H, you need to embrace wrestling media because they reflect the audience that NXT has. So, you know, the internet fan was what made up the NXT audience. So the WWE PR team at the time was like, Triple H, you should start doing these media calls. And he did. But then when he moved up to doing main roster stuff, they sort of he didn't do those. He does the pressers now.
I've honestly am not a fan of the media calls before pay-per-views for anything now. I don't even tune into them anymore, to be honest, because nothing comes out of them anymore. Personally, that's how I feel about it. And the other thing is, like, by the time you get to like the actual show, it almost feels like a lot of what was already asked in those media calls, and were given like non-answers. So for me, it's like, to be honest, I don't care for the media calls before the pay-per-views.
I don't care for any of them at all, especially after this past weekend. I mean, I stopped going to them. Like, it's so funny because I always get tagged. Are you going to be a coward, or are you going to ask? Well, I ain't asking shit because I ain't
going. By the way, they've switched things around a whole lot that people don't even realize. I don't even know if you know this now. But so what they're doing now at the WWE PLEs, the press conferences afterwards is, okay, so you know how like usually you have a question, you raise up your hand, right, and the mic comes to you? So now what they do is they pick people. So let's say you don't got shit, you don't got nothing to ask, they'll come up to you and be like, you're next, and you're like, oh dang, I'm next. Well, let's see what I've got right now. Let's go. For some, not for all, because there are some people where you're like, oh shit, like I'm ready to go. But then there are some people where, yeah, you like get chosen even if you didn't like raise your hand up to ask a question, which sucks, because then there are people that raise their hand up and they don't get asked because it's like, well, somebody else already got chosen. It's, I don't know, it's a whole thing.
I want to encourage you guys, after our show, go to twitch.tv/greatblackotaku. Mansoor, the former Mansoa, and Mace Mase are doing a fundraiser stream for Soft Ground Ugandan Wrestling. And really, please support them. I really adore what what they do at SGW. It is the essence and the passion of pro wrestling. And I really, really like what Mansoor and Mason Madden are doing over there. They've done some incredible stuff for them, and I think that should be supported. So please check that out afterwards. I don't know how to set up a Twitch raid, but if there's, listen, if any of our mods are able to access that and do that, let's do that as this show ends.
Well, when you learn, can you teach me? Thanks.
Yeah, probably should. N. Simmons says, so glad for all these years, Ricochet finally got to show that he could what he could do in the main roster. I did think of what Denise said about how they could cool Ricochet off after he loses and push both guys. Yeah, I mean, it's like they discovered under Triple H, oh yeah, that's why we hired Ricochet, because he's capable of doing things that nobody else can do. R-Truth meets Adam Pearce, and he had the UConn coach there as well. This was whatever. It was the localized.
NCAA, the indies.
Yes. Localized humor, whatever. Braun Breaker wants to know why he's not in King of the Ring. Adam Pearce says he'll tell him. Interesting. Chad Gable and Bronson Reed is a no contest thanks to Sami Zayn. And Reed lays everyone out. Now in Saudi, we're getting Sami, Gable, Bronson. Give me that. And you know what? I actually don't mind the DQ because we don't see as many of them these days. Back when we were getting 1, 2, 3 a show, like, I really hated it. Now when we see a DQ or a count out, I'm like, okay, it's probably furthering something. It was just a lazy way to do another match back when Vince was running things.
Yeah, I know. And I know why they did this, obviously, to further this story, of course, and to make the match for Saudi Arabia. But I do wish that instead of this, we would have gotten the actual match between Ray and Kofi. Like, I think had they cut that, had they cut out some other little backstage things, they probably could have made enough time. Because, again, this is a match that you would want to see on television. And, again, it was promoted. But card subject to change, so...
Jonathan Corona says, Denise, what did you think of the chair spot with Tama and Kevin on Backlash? It was insane. Sean, Denise, if you were a WWE superstar, what would your ring name be? I mean, my ring name was Sean Ross Sapp. That's what I went by.
So a lot of people know mine because I've said this, but when I was little and I wanted to be a wrestler, my mom said this at my wedding. My name was Pina Colada. I wanted to be a masked luchadora, and my name was going to be Pina Colada. Like, that was the dream. But I have no athletic bone in my body, and I would have been the worst wrestler on this planet.
It's like WWE booking the Mexicools, is what that is. The Pina Colada.
Pina Colada.
Would you have a special vehicle that you come into the ring in? Like, would it be like a big pineapple or something that you drive?
Oh my God, I'd be like freaking SpongeBob. I would have SpongeBob's house as my entrance.
Somebody actually had the balls to say Pina Colada actually goes hard. No, it does.
It's a good name for a luchadora. Yes, it is, Sean. Think about it. Like, can you imagine being in Mexico and be like, ahora presentamos Pina Colada?
It's a good name. It's a good name for a tropical starburst.
I would come out and I would hand out freaking pinas to everybody. And I chose that name, by the way. I didn't even know at that time that I would become a pina colada addict. Virgin, of course, because I don't drink. But virgin pina coladas, they're my jam. That's what I get in Las Vegas, so people think I'm drinking, but I'm not.
You heard it, guys. She's handing out pinas. Anyway, what did you think of that?
I would be everybody's favorite freaking wrestler.
What did you think of the chair spot with Tama and Kevin?
Okay, I think I posted my reaction to that on Instagram, by the way. I'm okay. Pretty sure that was part of the compilation that I posted, but I loved everything from that match, man. I was hyped the whole entire time.
Muhammad Ali Malik says, Denise, did you like the T-Swift joke by Tom Brady at his roast?
I didn't see it.
Well, let me look it up. I'll look it up since he...
Yeah, I didn't see it. I'm sorry. I didn't see the roast. I only saw that Kim Kardashian got booed. That was it. That was all I saw.
He said, Kansas City, you say your stadium is the loudest. It helps when all your fans are 14-year-old girls. In honor of Tay-Tay, let's take a look at the Chiefs' eras. Terrible for 50 years. Good for 5.
Can I just say, I wish all of Taylor Swift's fans were 14-year-old girls, because then they wouldn't be able to afford tickets, and I would be able to freaking go to more than one show, you know? All right, I wish I was competing against 14-year-old girls.
When she came to Cincinnati, it was so crazy that, like, people were staying in Lexington an hour away that weren't even going. They were driving and trying to get near the stadium to hear the music. Like, it was...
Yeah. Well, dude, I went to opening night in Arizona in Glendale.
Yeah.
What am I doing in Arizona? I went to go see Taylor Swift. Kidding me?
Becky Lynch interview.
I used to go to freaking San Diego because she would sell out the Staples Center 5 days, and I couldn't get tickets. You know, I couldn't get tickets to the Staples Center when she would come. I had to go take myself to freaking San Diego. And then finally, I did get to see her at the Staples for her next tour. But this is the thing that I've been, it's been a long time. I've been a fan for a long time.
We got a Becky Lynch interview interrupted by Liv. I didn't think the interview was, I mean, they wanted to show.
It was not good.
It was not good. They were like, it felt like they didn't even run it by her beforehand. It felt like they were just like, hey, here's you at the Kentucky Derby. Look at your hat. And she's like, yeah, it was a hat. All right. That's about it. And then Liv came out.
Did she really get her hat on Etsy? That was my biggest question.
I'll tell you this. So I first off, I know who Seth and Becky's stylist is. It's King Troy. But specifically because I watch WWE Raw, I constantly get like Temu suit ads now that are like mocks of Seth's suits. I get them all the time and they're like ridiculously cheap. But I'm like, there's no way Seth could wear these. There's no way he could do it. They would rip as soon as he put them on. Like, so... I don't know, but I didn't like the promo like at all, but Liv setting up the match made sense. K775 says, condolences to you, Sean. Obviously, Becky is losing to Liv in Saudi. Have you heard anything about her contract negotiations? Do you know if WWE is optimistic about her staying? They are certainly optimistic after Seth has re-signed. I don't have that info on Becky yet, but I'm going to work to find out. I do think that she'll lose to Liv at Saudi, though.
My favorite thing in this was how savage Liv was when Damage Control surrounded them and it looked like they were going to have to be on the same side, and then she just bounces. I loved that, because the last thing I want to see is Ken, Becky Lynch, and Liv Morgan coexist. No, screw that. Liv Morgan left. Good. I'm glad, because they're all enemies. I really loved that.
I do too. And I like that they're putting Lyra in there in a top level, like with top people. RJ says, I don't like how they made Liv look like a coward. They made her look like a heel.
Yeah, that was great. She was savage. Yeah. Why would she be no, she doesn't have to. That's not her fight. She doesn't have to be there. She screwed Becky Lynch. That was perfect. And I love how it also set up that moment for Lyra to go in there and all of a sudden find herself with her, with a person that she respects that put her over on NXT. And one of the things that I was kind of hoping for is what we saw with Zoe Stark and Trish Stratus. I would love to see something like that with Lyra and Becky Lynch, because we haven't seen Becky Lynch, not that I recall, in a role like that. So I think it would be pretty cool. So I feel like they did a lot here. They set up Liv as a savage, not a coward, but a savage. And this friendship, this potential friendship with two girls that come from the same place in Lyra and Becky.
The Bep Jr. says, dealing with an ankle injury, it put a smile on my face seeing Becky put over Alba, Isla, Kiana, and Lyra in her interview with Michael Cole. That was the highlight of it, I felt. And Punks Are Punk says, love you guys. It's great to see you crank again. Hope you're holding up well, Sean. Don't know how to transition out of this, but Liv rules. And TTPD slaps. Well, hey, we're just happy to hear from you, Punks Are Punks. So how about that one? Well, this led to Lyra Valkyria defeating Dakota Kai. I mean, man, this was King and Queen of the Ring heavy, but I think, you know, when you got the turnaround that they're going to have, good. Do that and show us that this matters and show us that it's important. And then you could supplement it with some of the title stuff, because that was sort of the focus over the past weekend. You got to have the people who just showed up win as soon as they show up. That way people believe they are on the level.
Yeah, this match was fine. I did think it lacked a little bit of electricity in it. Didn't have some of the electricity that we've seen Lyra have in some of her NXT matches. But I still thought that it was a fine match. I just don't think that Dakota and Lyra had... I don't think they had as much magic together just yet. Maybe it just didn't, you know, they didn't totally click during this matchup here. But, and I only say this because I know that I've seen so many of Lyra's matches and I know how good they can be. And I felt like this one, when she won, it didn't have the crowd sort of reacting the way you might have wanted them to. It wasn't like the same reaction that you got when Ilya won his match. And so that was the only thing that I would say was lacking from this victory. But regardless, I still thought they had a fine match. But it was interesting because I would have thought that that would be like probably the best match of the night for the women. But it ended up being Natty and Io. Like none of the women's matches topped that one for today.
I think this match, if they ran it back in about 2 or 3 months after running the live event loops, I bet it would be
right. Just to get them a little bit more used to each other and whatnot.
Ryan Sully says, apparently the SmackDown side of the men's King of the Ring revealed. Round one has Orton, AJ, Corbin, Carmelo, Knight and Santos, Lashley and Tama.
Did they reveal it on their website?
Is that legit? Can
I don't know. Luis, I'm looking right now.
Can the producer, Luis, can you let us know, friend? Is this bullshit? It is true. There we go. It was announced on Raw Talk. There we go. Thank you.
Oh, okay. God, I forget Raw Talk is a thing, man. I'm all looking for it on their Twitter site.
Buddy, I watched a whole episode thinking they were going to announce draft picks there. Woof. Love for Boost says, wanted to say welcome back, SRS. Sorry to hear about your loss. Thank you so much. It means a lot. And honestly, it'd be a lot harder if I didn't have you guys to talk to and hang out with. And it means a lot. Broadway Joe says, WWE only watchers, if you enjoyed Ilya Ricochet, that was actually on the lower end of a typical AEW banger. Give Wednesdays a go. Watch All Wrestling. Whatever floats your boat, brother. I don't. People want to watch it. Cool. Good for them. If they want to not watch it and spend time shaving their big nasty pubes, well, guess what? Guess what? I got something that might help them, Denise.
What is it?
Manscaped.
Let's be real. Big nasty pubes are gross. You want that tree to stand taller. Sometimes you got to do a little bit of landscaping. Sometimes you got to do a little bit of manscaping. With manscaped.com and that code FIFA, you're going to save 20% off your order and get free shipping. What a deal. And how about this? They've got a ton of deals on that site. They got a lot of bundles, a lot of packages to help out your package. But it's not just your package. It's your body. It's your hair. They got deodorant. They've got shampoo. They've got foot deodorant. They got ball toner. They got everything at manscaped.com. And when you use that code FIFAL, get 20% off your order and free shipping. Just a plethora of different options. Maybe you want to try a little bit of everything. Maybe you just want to try one thing. Well, Manscaped and the code FIGHTFUL will get you there. Make that tree stand taller and trim it up a little bit with Manscaped.
Kofi promo. He confirms that Xavier Woods has an injury. And he wanted Xavier to run through this tournament again, win King of the Ring. But now he has to drop Ray like he was Kendrick Lamar or Drake. They had to get that reference in there, of course. Jay Miller says, I hope WWE films the matches cut from the show. Well, yeah, there's no reason not to. Again, like, you do have a show on Peacock, main event. Why not just do them there? I understand maybe you want to sell some live event tickets as well, but...
Well, at least now the live event people have something to look forward to.
They do.
So there's a bright side for somebody. Not us, but for the live event people.
They do. I'm just like, man... This was a first-time match. Kofi and Ray, two former WWE champions on top of that. Like,
my whole thing is that it feels weird. Like, I hate that I'm going to have to wait and see until someone posts it on social media for me to find out where we're at on this bracket. And I don't like that because I want to go into this knowing exactly what that bracket's looking like, right? You can guess, you can predict, of course, but I don't know. It feels like I feel like this side of the Raw bracket feels incomplete just because we didn't get those two matches.
Yeah, I will say this, guys, regardless of if WWE films it, we will run it on the website. Somebody will film it. Somebody will have a fan cam of it and we'll have it on Fightful. Jonathan Corona says, you know, it'd be cool if WWE let all women's commentary team since Rome is on NXT. It'd be cool if women had their own commentary team, just saying. Well, when they had Renee on there, I thought that she was unfairly criticized because they had her in a three-person booth as the third person. You can't get a word in edgewise as the third person in a WWE booth back then, especially with Vince screaming in your damn ear. I would love to see her get another crack at it in AEW. Sheamus says he wants to become the High King. Gunther cuts a promo, and then we get Gunther defeating Sheamus, King of the Ring, main event, as reported by FightfulSelect.com. Line Drive wants Ilya Gunther, King of the Ring, semifinal. Kaiser attacks Sheamus' leg, but got ejected by the referee, but Gunther still took advantage of that, tapped Sheamus out with a half crab for the win. I like that we are going right back to Gunther leading the charge. I want him to win King of the Ring. I think that's how I feel. I want him to get his win back over Ilya from years ago as well. That's what I want. How'd you feel about this and the direction it's going?
Well, I'm with you on that with Gunther. I think he's a popular pick heading into, being part of the King of the Ring for sure. I would say he's the pick, the popular choice. But my biggest thing I have to say about this, in all honesty, is that while it was levels above anything that we saw here today, this was match of the night. It did not it was not as good as their previous matches, just point blank. The previous matches were just levels above this. And this was fine, but it did not have the same magic that they once had. I thought it was fine, best match of the night, but nowhere near what they have done in the past.
Yeah, it's not going to win match of the year like their previous match won match of the year in the Fightful Awards. But, you know, for King of the Ring, I thought it was pretty solid. For the Raw main event, thought it was okay. You know, still pretty good. It's just they had set the bar so ridiculously high that it was hard to do that. Like, I don't think this will ever be mentioned in the same breath as the other match.
No, I won't be surprised if in a couple of years I forget this match on Raw even happened, but I'll remember all their other matches. I probably won't remember this one though. And I'm including the WrestleMania one as well, by the way, because I really love that match, even though Drew was in it. I don't care. I love that match, so I'm including it.
We have lots of cool stuff coming up for you guys on Fightful and FightfulSelect.com. If you don't subscribe to Fightful Select, do it. I've mentioned this for a while, using Twitter less and on Discord a lot more. I've got my Q&A coming back this week as well. I want to thank Corey Brennan for filling in for me on the Backstage Report. But FightfulSelect.com, it's only $5. And let me tell you, it's credible and accurate over there. But we got all kinds of stuff coming for Fightful on YouTube as well. We had an interview with Tiffany Stratton that dropped last week as well. We had Ivar reacting to the AJ Styles LA Knight fight from the press day at WrestleMania. Because everybody else got up to film it. And I was like, nope, we're going to sit here. And it was great. Kevin Owens ran in on it. It was a good time. RJ says no Liv and Dom teases tonight. None yet. I like that they're peppering it in. But Denise, we haven't done a 90-minute show in quite a while. Tell people where you're at, what you're doing. You hosted our Backlash show this week. Big thank you for that. But you got a lot of stuff going on at your own channel.
Honestly, just youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. That channel is my baby and it's growing, and just go there because I post almost every single day on there. And if you're not there, go to my Instagram account. I've been posting a whole lot there too. And everything's Denise Salcedo. You can just search it.
Guys, again, I want to thank all of you that said very, very nice things. It has been a terrible time for me. And I just want to say thank you guys, because you guys helped me get through that. And you continue to help me get through that. But back in the office this week, and we're going to be proving some points with how much shit we report on FightfulSelect.com this summer. So enjoy that, my friends. Until next time, we're out.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.